pregnant women who have long commutes have an increased risk of adverse birth outcomes. We're talking about the new findings here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The study is out of the UW-Madison and Lehigh University, and it suggests that women who travel 50 or more miles each way to work by car may be at a much greater risk. Mothers, do you have a long commute? Did that affect you during your pregnancy? Do you have to do a lot of standing in your job? How have you dealt with that through your trimesters? We're at 800-642-1234. Young Wong is a professor of public affairs at UW-Madison, and her research focuses on health economics. She recently co-authored a study in the journal Economic and Human Biology about the effects of long-distance commutes on pregnant women and infant health. Young, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
What made you set out to study the impact of commuting on pregnant women? Did you have any clues or any data that would imply commuting might have an effect?
According to the most recent census data, about 2.2 million workers in the U.S. travel at least 50 miles each way between their homes and workplace, and about 1.7 million workers spend 90 minutes or more commuting each direction. And as we have all experienced, this kind of long commute can be really demanding physically and mentally. Imagine and think about all the, you know, noise and the bad air and the sitting for a long time, the numbness in the legs and the stress, all that kind of thing. And this can be particularly demanding or hard for pregnant women during pregnancy. So we thought about this problem, and we find it's really unique data, which has information on not only women's home address, but also their employers' address. And we did this first empirical study, meaning using data to provide some evidence on the relationship between commute during pregnancy and the infant's birth outcome. And we actually did find some significant result. We find that for long distance commuters, meaning one-way commute is at least 50 miles, increasing the travel distance during pregnancy by 10 miles is associated with increases in the probability of low birth weight by 0.9 percentage point, which is really big increase. It's also associated with an increase in the probability of intrauterine growth restriction by 0.6 percentage point.
So when you looked at mileage, what was considered a long distance commute? Because you looked at miles, not driving time. Is that right?
Yes, that's exactly what we did. It would be great if we have driving time, but the data is limited. We don't really have that information in the data set. So we have to focus on a group of pregnant women for whom we know for sure that they're going to drive for a long time between their home and workplace. That's why we focus on women who drive between 50 miles and 100 miles one way between their homes and workplace. According to the census, U.S. census, if you drive at least 50 miles one way, you're called a long-distance commute. That's their definition. That's why we have the lower cut at 50 miles. And if women drive more than 100 miles, okay, if the distance between home and workplace is more than 100 miles, it's likely that people might work at home. So we're not considering people with a distance longer than 100 miles also. And as you mentioned, if we do have information on travel time, we'll have more accurate measure of the travel time, of course. But now we can only translate the travel distance to travel time.
We're looking at a new study that measures the impact of long commutes on expectant mothers. Young Wong is a professor of public affairs at UW-Madison, and she recently co-authored a study about the effects of long-distance commutes on pregnant women and infant health. You can join in with your questions, your experiences, 800-642-1234. Do you have a long commute, and did that affect you during your pregnancy? Were you stressed during your pregnancy? Did managing work and appointments become challenging? Share your story with us. There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Young, how much of these effects, like low birth weight and slow fetal growth, can be connected to the physical impacts of commuting?
That's a good question. So the two mechanisms we actually provide some evidence on are a stress triggered by the long commute and the underutilization of prenatal care. Because of data limitation, we didn't really do much about the actual physical aspect of long commute. So not much there I can say here.
Well, we also know that edema can be such a problem, the swelling hands and ankles and feet during, especially later in the pregnancy. Can sitting behind the wheel have an impact on that?
I think so. I mean, even my personal experience, right, during pregnancy, if you sit for a long time, then you're likely to suffer through bad blood circulation, not enough oxygen, all that kind of things. But for this study, we don't really have any data on that. So the data collection agency, they didn't ask women, did you feel any swell in your hands or extremities during pregnancy? So we cannot really say for sure whether that's exactly what's happening.
So you didn't have those, you know, the physical, you know, the charts, in terms of what those women were facing during their pregnancy in terms of their health. Were there situational or lifestyle challenges that are related to women who have long commutes? Do they get to their appointments?
Oh, that's a good question. That's something we actually explored. We looked at whether for long commute pregnant women, they will also use the prenatal care as often or as early as mothers with shorter commute. And we actually find that maternal long commutes during pregnancy is actually associated with underutilization of prenatal care. That means that for women who are driving at least 50 miles one way between home and work, they receive fewer prenatal care during pregnancy. They also wait a longer period. They wait about 1 week more than other women with shorter commute to have their first prenatal health care. And many of them even wait until the third trimester or never actually during pregnancy to have their first prenatal health care. And we all know that prenatal health care is really important to make sure that the mother and the infant or the fetus are healthy. So this kind of delay is really bad for pregnant women and their infants. And there's a strong statistically significant association between long commute during pregnancy and prenatal care use.
We're looking at the health effects of long car commutes on pregnant women. Young Wong stays with us. She's a public affairs professor at UW-Madison, recently co-authored the study. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Were you stressed during your pregnancy? Did managing work and appointments become challenging? What policies would you like to see enacted to help pregnant women and new mothers? You can call in, email ideas at WPR.org. We'll get back to this in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. We're looking at long car commutes and the impact it has on pregnant women and infants. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A new study out of the UW-Madison has data on the dangers to pregnant women, and it found the longer the commute, the worse the impact. The researchers also think that maternal stress that is made worse by commuting might also be a factor. Looking at the study with your experiences along the way, your insights welcome at 800-642-1234. Expectant moms, how have you dealt with your commute to work? What policies would you like to see enacted to help pregnant women and new mothers? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. Young Wong is a professor of public affairs at UW-Madison, and she co-authored this study in the journal Economic and Human Biology. Let's go to the phones now with Darlene joining us from Grafton. Good morning, Darlene.
Good morning.
What's on your mind about this?
I just wanted to ask if any flight attendants were looked at in this study. I do work for a major carrier, and we are allowed to fly through 28 weeks of pregnancy. And in my situation, I did at the time live in Milwaukee, and I commuted to Newark, New Jersey. And my typical work day, which I did four times a month, would be I'd get up at like 6 in the morning, commute to Newark, New Jersey by flying on standby, sit in the airport all day long waiting to then work my international trip. And then on the third day, I would do the reverse. And like I said, a lot of flight attendants do commute to domiciles other than where they live, but they are allowed to fly till 28 weeks. And I was wondering if people like that were looked at, and I can take the answer off the air.
Darlene, very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
So did you work through 28 weeks? What was your pregnancy?
I did.
Yeah. How did that go for you?
Mine was sort of, I think, special circumstances because of my age. I was almost 44 years old by the time I delivered my daughter. The pregnancy went well, except that I did, as soon as I got off work at 28 weeks, within 10 days, I was in the hospital in premature labor, and I did deliver her early. I did deliver her at 30 weeks.
Oh, wow. So you were advanced maternal age, though, but in a situation where certainly, you know, you're sitting and, in an aircraft. Young Wong, what is your response there to the aviation industry and particularly there a flight attendant who is commuting to Newark and then doing an international stint?
Wow, that's such experience. Hi, good morning. So based on this study, we are only looking at women who drive during pregnancy between work and home. We don't have data, the ability to actually look at women who actually travel even longer distance through other transportation mode. But we do know that there's evidence out there that says that it's the missing prenatal care early in the pregnancy or have fewer prenatal care during early pregnancy that has a stronger effect on the mother and infant health. So listening to the story, knowing that you actually have to work the first 28 weeks of the pregnancy, that most likely is related to the birth outcome later. So I think one policy implication from this study is we need to give pregnant women some breaks from early, the beginning part of the pregnancy, either give them paid or even unpaid maternity prenatal leave, or give them flexible working hours, or in some situation just, you know, change their, temporarily at least, their job responsibility so they can have less stress and they can get to their prenatal care on time and as frequently as needed.
How do maternal and paternal policies here in the U.S. compare to policies in other countries?
Oh, very bad. We ranked last almost on all family-friendly policies compared to other high-income industrialized countries. And so basically not very good. The maternity care before and after childbirth and for fathers, almost on all aspects, we're not doing well. So hopefully this study can help policymakers make better policies to cover at least some part of the prenatal care.
And your study looked at women commuting in New Jersey, which has the highest average commute times in the country. Do you know at all what commuting averages are for Wisconsin?
So, New Jersey, we look at New Jersey partially because New Jersey is top three. I think it's not number one.
Okay.
It's top three. And the average travel time during 2011, 2015 is about 31 minutes in New Jersey. And that's also our study period. And for Wisconsin, I just was looking at the data the other day. And for Wisconsin, the average commute time is actually 21.7 minutes, which is not about 10 minutes shorter than New Jersey during our study period. But there is a huge heterogeneity. There's huge variation within Wisconsin. For example, if we look at Dane County, the average commute time is 20.8 minutes, according to this webpage I find. But for some other counties like Burnett, I hope I'm pronouncing correctly.
It's okay. Yeah.
Burnett, Park, they can be as high as 29.1 minutes. That's very close to New Jersey already. So for most people in Wisconsin, I hope, fortunately, it's not a big concern.
Mm-hmm.
But for some women in certain area of Wisconsin where they have to travel long distance, it is actually a critical issue.
Yang Wang, much earlier in the conversation, you broke down the numbers on birth weight and impacts there. Can you walk us through those numbers one more time so we can understand them?
Yeah, so the we find that for women who travel 50 to 100 miles one way between home and workplace, increasing their travel distance by 10 miles is associated with increase in the probability of low birth weight by 0.9 percentage point. So low birth weight here is identified as, let me see, I want to make sure I get the number.
Sure.
I think that's 2,500 grams, yes, which is about 5.5 pounds. And so low birth weight, decrease in probability of having low birth weight by 0.9 percentage point is about, let me check.
we don't have to do the math on air, but Yang Wang, now that you've done this study, and you see the correlation, it's right there in front of you. Where do you go next? What do you study next?
Okay, very good question. So partially more research, partially more policy. So for research side, as I mentioned, we don't really have information on travel time. That's one limitation. And we are not able to say much about women who have a short driving distance between their home and workplace. But sometimes, as we all know, right, a 10 miles distance can take you maybe 5 minutes or 15 minutes, depending on the traffic. So we hope to have some better data or other data that can tell us something about the relationship between travel distance for short commute pregnant mothers and see whether that also pose a threat to the health of their infant or fetus. And on the policy side, we hope this study can raise awareness among people, especially draw attention from policymakers so they can come up with more family-friendly policies to cover the prenatal period. So pregnant women women can either take time off work or have more flexible working hours, or they can work at home, so they don't have to stress too much about having a healthy child, but also make ends meet at the same time.
Well, Young Wang, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure.
Young Wang is a public affairs professor at the UW-Madison, and she co-authored a study that's published in the Economic and Human Biology Journal. It's about the effects of long-distance commute on pregnant women and infant health. Coming up, we look at the barriers to access immigration attorneys here in Wisconsin. That's coming up after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.